We're learning Masech Tezvachim, Daf Tezvav Amud Aleph, five lines from the top of the Yomid, the last two words on the line. Itmar was stated, Amar Ula Amar Rabbi Yechanan. Ula said in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, Haylocha Shalai Beregel Psula, that if an individual transported the blood to the Mizbeach and did not utilize his foot, he didn't walk the blood to the Mizbeach, and the korban is going to be invalid. Even if it's a kohen who brings the dam to the Mizbeach, nevertheless, if he doesn't do it beregel, it will be invalid. Alma, from here we can infer that it's totally invalid and cannot be amended. Le'efshe l'sakuno, that it's not feasible to amend this halacha. Earlier we had already learned, explains the Shita Mekubetzes, that halacha shaloi beregel is invalid. It's not considered halacha. By mentioning this again and telling us psula, not only are we saying that the halacha is invalid, but that it cannot be amended as well. Eisvei Rav Nachman Le'ula, Rav Nachman asked the kasha to Ula from the Mishnah Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. Nishbach min hakli ala ritzpa, if the dam was spilled from the kli shoreis onto the floor, va'asofei, and the kohen got it together, gathered it up, kosher, it will remain valid. Even though some of the dam had spilled towards the mizbeach, and that dam was not transported beregel to the mizbeach, nevertheless, the kohen can still pick up the dam and transport it beregel to the mizbeach. Obviously, halacha shaloi beregel can be amended. Efshel sakuna. So why then does Ula say loy efshel sakuna? That according to Rabbi Yechanan, halacha beregel cannot be amended. We see from this Mishnah that it can be amended. And for Ula, Ula answers halacha b'mayaskinan. That Mishnah is dealing a unique case kishiyotalachutz, where the blood, when it spilled on the floor, did not spill towards the mizbeach, but rather away from the mizbeach. And therefore, that's not considered halacha at all, as we learned yesterday. Halacha is transporting blood closer to the mizbeach, not moving it further away. So this is not a case of amending a halacha shaloi beregel. It is taking blood and transporting it to the mizbeach beregel, which of course is valid. Frekta Gemara, levaroi nafik. Does blood that spills on the floor only fall away from the mizbeach? Legavoi lo yail. It doesn't fall and spread inward towards the mizbeach as well. But it's a liquid. It spills in every direction, says Rashi. Obviously, some had it spill towards the mizbeach, and nevertheless, the kohen is able to gather it up and transport it properly, beregel, to the mizbeach. So it would seem from the Mishnah that you're able to amend a halacha shaloi beregel. Why then does Ula say in the name of Rabbi Yechanan psula that it is impossible to amend it? But the Gemara, the blood spilled bimkayim midrain, in an area that was slanted away from the mizbeach. Therefore, there was no halacha to begin with, and that's why the kohen is able to gather up the blood and bring it to the mizbeach beregel. He is not amending an incorrect halacha; he's doing a halacha for the first time. Ibay seima, another teretz, biguma, the blood spilled into a hole, and therefore it didn't spread out at all. So no blood was transported on the floor towards the mizbeach, and therefore there was no halacha to begin with. The kohen is gathering the blood and doing halacha beregel for the first time. There's no raya that the halacha shaloi beregel can be amended. Ibai is saying that if you want another teretz, another unique case, bismicha. We're dealing with blood that's thick, says Rashi, almost solid. Therefore it obviously doesn't spread. It doesn't spread towards the mizbeach. There is no halacha that is being amended. The kohen gathers it, transports it beregel for the first time, and accomplishes halacha in the proper way. There is no proof that a halacha shaloi beregel can be amended from the Mishnah on Lamed Beis. Like the Gemara, v'ichbal tana lashminon kolhani. Would the Tana take the trouble to teach us all of these cases that really are not the norm? The blood having spilled midroin, sloping away from the mizbeach, or beguma, in a hole where it's gathered and transported to the mizbeach beregel, or besmicha, where the blood is thick and therefore can't initially spread out at all towards the Mizbeach. These are not typical cases. Why would the Tana go to the trouble of teaching us this halacha concerning these cases? Va'oid, and furthermore, Adetoni Be'idach Pirkin, learned in the other perek, the second perek in this Mesechta, Daf Chafeyam et Aleph, Nishbach ala Ritzba, if the blood fell directly onto the floor before it could be gathered into a kli shoreis, it went directly from the neck of the animal onto the floor, Va'asofoi, and the kohen gathers that dam, posel, it is going to be invalid. In other words, if the dam first was received in a kli shoreis and then it was spilled on the ground, that blood can be gathered and still used for the avoda. The blood may be thrown onto the mizbeach. But if the dam was never gathered in a kli shoreis, rather it fell from the animal directly onto the ground, then even if it's gathered together, it cannot be thrown on the kli shoreis. It's invalid. Now, according to Ulo, who stated in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, that a halacha of shaloi beregel cannot be amended, lif like bididei, let the Tana create a difference, a distinction. Bamedvar mamurim, when do we say that if the dam was first received into a kli shoreis and then fell on the ground, that it can be used kishiyot lechutz, where the dam spread outward when it fell on the ground, away from the mizbeach. Aval nichnas lefnim, but if the dam spread towards the mizbeach, that should be considered a halacha shaloi beregel, and it should be pasul. Yet the Tana does not create this difference, this distinction. It makes no difference whether the dam spread towards the mizbeach or away from the mizbeach. Obviously, even if it spread towards the mizbeach, which is considered an act of halacha, being done shaloi beregel, nevertheless it can be amended by the kohen gathering the dam and bringing it beregel to the mizbeach. To Yufta, we have Akasha, we have refuted Ula, who holds that halacha shaloi beregel cannot be amended. Since the Mishnah that teaches us that the kohen can gather the blood that fell from the kli shoreis onto the floor and bring it to the mizbeach does not distinguish as to whether the blood fell away from the mizbeach or towards the mizbeach, obviously even in a case where it fell towards the mizbeach, kohen can nevertheless gather the dam and transport it beregel to the mizbeach, and the halacha will be kosher. From this we can determine that a halacha shaloi beregel efshar l'sakuna can be amended. Itmar, we learned halacha shaloi beregel, if the blood was transported not by foot to the mizbeach, in unique cases, Rashi explains, where the behema was shechted next to the mizbeach, and really there is no typical halacha. Rather, the kohen is just moving it towards the mizbeach as he does the zrika. Machlokes Rabbi Shimon v'Rabbanon, this is the machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbanon, as to whether or not a machshava shaloi lishma during this type of halacha will invalidate the korban or not. Halacha Rabbosi, concerning the typical halacha, in which the individual transports the dam some distance towards the mizbeach, so that it's necessary to transport it with the regel, by foot, the kuli amar lo pligi de psula. Everyone will agree, even Reb Shimon, that the korban is invalid if during this typical halacha, this halacha Rabbosi, as he transported the blood, the kohen had an improper machshava. The kohen had a machshava of shaloi lishma. Ki pligi, where is the application of the machlekes Reb Shimon and Rabbanon by locha zutarti? When the kohen had an intention shaloi lishma while transporting the blood a minimal distance, like our case that we just mentioned, where the korban was shechted adjacent to the mizbeach. In that case, there's a machlokes between Reb Shimon and the Chachamim. According to the Chachamim, it's considered halacha, and therefore machshava shaloi lishma will invalidate the korban. And according to Reb Shimon, being that this halacha does not necessitate transporting it by foot, it is not considered the avoda of halacha, and it is not disqualified if the individual, the kohen, while moving the dam closer to the mizbeach to do zrika, has a machshava shaloi lishma. Yet this interpretation of Reb Shimon's view was disputed in Eretz Yisrael. Mochaku Allah b'marovo. In the West, in Eretz Yisrael, they made fun of this understanding of Reb Shimon, that if an individual moves the dam by hand closer to the Mizbeach to do Zrika, when the korban was shechted adjacent to the Mizbeach, even though that's necessary, it's not considered an avoda. Even though it's indispensable, it's not considered halacha, so that if the kohen has a machsheves psul, he will not invalidate the korban. Elochata soif. But what about the case of chata soif, where you throw the blood of the bird chatas by swinging his arm up and down while holding the bird with such force, the blood of the chata soif is thrown onto Mizbeach? This is considered an avoda. The Torah considers it indispensable. Sula b'machshava. If as he's doing this, the kohen has the wrong intention, he will invalidate the chata soif. The Reb Shimon hechi mishkachas lo. How can we have this type of case? This kind of throwing of the blood, according to Reb Shimon, would be considered a halacha zutarti. He's not moving it with his regel towards the mizbeach. He's transporting it a very minimal distance, and nevertheless, the chata sa'if can become disqualified by a machshava, by an incorrect intention. Yet according to Reb Shimon, how do we have such an incorrect intention? At what point in time? He, the choshev alo, if he had the improper intention, mikamei delipuk dam, before the blood came out of the bird as he was swinging it up and down to throw the blood on the mizbeach, loy klumi, that's nothing. He hasn't had a machsheves psul during the avoda. As the Keren Ora explains, according to Reb Shimon, this will be considered a halacha zutarti. This is a very minimal halacha. That's not considered part of the halacha, and therefore would not invalidate the korban. The e bosad in ofek dam, and if he had the machshava after the blood had come out of the bird, it's avida le mitzvosoi. He has already fulfilled the mitzvah. So therefore the machshava cannot invalidate it at that point either. This is why mochaku alo b'marova. In Eretz Yisrael, they made fun of this understanding of Reb Shimon. If according to Reb Shimon, a halacha zutarti, a minimal transportation of the dam is not considered the avodah of halacha, then how does a chata sa'if become invalid b'machshava? Fakti gemara mai kushya, what shver? Dilma mideparish, maybe the machshava took place and the korban became invalid from the time that the dam separated itself from the bird, the ad demata, until it reached the mizbeach. During that time, the kohen had a machshava shaloi lishma, and that's when the chata sa'if becomes invalid with a machshava psula. This stage is no longer considered halacha. The halacha zutarti has already taken place. This is now considered zrika. Once the blood is being thrown in the direction of the mizbeach, after it's left the bird, before it reaches the mizbeach, that's considered zrika. And according to Reb Shimon, that would be the case where the improper intention would disqualify, invalidate the chata sa'if. Da'aboy minei Rabbi Yirmiyah Reb Zera. Rabbi Yirmiyah posed the following dilemma from Reb Zera. Oyemaze, an individual is sprinkling the dam of either a chatas primis or a chata sa'if, v'nokta yodei shalmaze. And Rachman Litzlan, that individual's hand, the one who was sprinkling the blood, was amputated. And this happened, his hand was cut off before the dam had reached the airspace of the Mizbeach. Mahu, what is the din? We know that a kohen who has his arm cut off, amputated, cannot do the avoda. He's considered a balmum. This kohen became the balmum after the dam left the oif, before it reached the Mizbeach. Do we say that the avoda has started and now continues until the dam reaches the Mizbeach, and since this avoda was done by a balmum, it is invalid? Or do we say that the avoda was complete when the dam left the oif? And the fact that Rachman Litzlan, the kohen's arm was amputated and he became a balmum, does not affect the avoda. Because the avoda was complete the moment the blood merged and left the oif. The Amar Leih and Rab Zeira said to Rabbi Yirmiyah, Psula. that the Avoida and the Korban is invalid. My timer, what is the reason for this? Vehiza v'nosan bo'inan. It's necessary that he, the Kohen, shall sprinkle the blood, he shall place the blood. In other words, the Avoida is not complete until the blood actually reaches the Mizbeach. So if the Kohen became a Balmum before the blood reached the Mizbeach, or if the Kohen had a Machshava, Shaloi Lishma, before the blood reached the Mizbeach, after it had emerged from the Chatas Ha'if, before it reached the Mizbeach, the Korban will be invalid. The Torah tells us, V'hizah min Adam sheva pa'omim lefnei Hashem, es pnei peroiches ha'kodesh, v'nosan ha'kohen min Adam al karnes ha'mizbeach, k'teres ha'samim. The Kohen will sprinkle some of the blood 7 times before Hashem towards the holy curtain. The Kohen shall put some of the blood on the corners, the horns of the Mizbeach, where the K'teres is burned. This connection between towards the Pareiches of the Hiza and putting the Dam, the Nosan, on the Mizbeach HaPnimi compares the two, letting us know that the same way the Avoida is not complete until the Dam is actually placed on the Mizbeach, so too when it comes to Zrikas HaDam, the sprinkling of the Dam, that too is not complete until it reaches its final destination. Even though Reb Shimon holds that the Hilocha Zutarti, a minimal transportation of the Dam, here for example the Korban was shechted adjacent to the Mizbeach, and the Dam is just moved towards the Mizbeach with Zrika, even though Reb Shimon will hold a Machshava, an intention Shalei Lishma will not invalidate that act, because that's not considered halacha. Nevertheless, in the case of a chatas ha'if, there is a scenario where, according to Reb Shimon, a machshava will invalidate the korban. And that is during the time the blood has already emerged from the chatas ha'if, from the bird, and has not yet reached the mizbeach. If at that point in time the kohen has a machshava, an intention of shalei lishma, it will invalidate the korban. The same way, if the Kohen, Rachmana Litzlan, has his hand amputated after he has sprinkled the blood before it reaches the Mizbeach, the Avoida is considered invalid because it was done by a Balmum. Yosu Rav Pope v'Rav Huna b'Reid Rav Yeshua mi'Bei Rav. When Rav Pope and Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yeshua, came from the Beis Medrash, Amru Hainu Chuka. They said, this is the reason why in Eretz Yisrael they ridiculed the suggestion that according to Reb Shimon, during a halacha zutarti, a minimal conveyance of dam, a machshava, an improper intention of the kohen, would not invalidate the korban. Once again, it had been proposed that Reb Shimon and the Chachamim only argue in a halacha zutarti, but they do not argue in halacha rabosi. Everyone agrees that in that case, if the kohen has a machshava shalei lishma during an ordinary halacha, that the korban is invalid. Are you going to say that Reb Shimon and the Chachamim do not argue about an ordinary halacha, the one that is transported a distance to the Mizbeach? The whole machlokes in our Mishnah is concerning a halacha rabasi, conveying the dam a distance to the Mizbeach and having an improper machshava. The Chachamim are of the opinion that a shalei lishma will invalidate that korban during the halacha. And Reb Shimon holds shalei lishma does not invalidate during halacha because halacha is not absolutely necessary. The halacha could be nullified by shechting the animal adjacent to the mizbeach, and therefore you don't need halacha. But that's not the case they're arguing. They're obviously arguing in a case where you do need halacha, where the halacha is being done. Reb Shimon says, since it doesn't necessarily have to be done, then the machshavas psul will not invalidate the halacha. But obviously the case that they're arguing is about an ordinary halacha, where you're transporting the dam a distance. According to the Chachamim, a machshavas psul will invalidate that halacha, and according to Reb Shimon, that long halacha is not invalidated, since it could be done away with by shechting the animal next to the mizbeach. But this halacha that they're arguing about is the ordinary, typical halacha, transporting the dam a distance to the mizbeach. explain Rav Papa and Rav Huna, Bereid Rav Yeshua, that's why the Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael ridiculed this suggestion. El rather, it has to be reversed, and the Machlokes is as follows. B'haylocha zutarti, when it comes to a minimal haylocha, where the individual is not really transporting it beregel, the individual is adjacent to the Mizbeach, and he's just reaching with his hands, moving the blood closer to the Mizbeach, as he's going to do Zrika, Kuli Alma Loi Pligi Loi Pasla. Everyone agrees that concerning that minimal Haylacha, if the Kohen had a Machshava Shelei Lishma, it will not disqualify, it will not invalidate the Korban. Ki Pligi, when is there Machlekes between the Chachamim and Rav Shimon? By Halacha Rabasi, when the dam has to be transported to the Mizbeach from a distance. According to the Chachamim, if the Kohen had a machshava shelo lishma during that halacha, it will invalidate the korban. And according to Reb Shimon, the korban remains valid since that halacha could have been circumvented, and it's not absolutely necessary. The korban could have been shechted adjacent to the Mizbeach, and then the blood could have been transported to the Mizbeach. Therefore, even during the time when it is transported beregel from a distance, if the Kohen has a machshava shelo lishma, according to Reb Shimon, it will not invalidate the korban. Rashi gives a different reason as to why, according to Reb Shimon, this korban will not become invalid. It's a question as to whether or not this act of transporting the blood from the foot of the Mizbeach is considered halacha or zrika. And if the Kohen had the improper intention, he would only invalidate the korban if his mind was on zrika, that the zrika is being done with the machshava of shelo lishma. If he had in mind that the halacha is being done shelo lishma, then the korban would remain valid, and that's why, according to Reb Shimon, the korban is valid, because of the fact that this is not the avodah that's being done. The only time a machshava of Shalei Lishma will invalidate the korban is when he has the Shalei Lishma intention for the correct Avaida. But if he thinks he's doing Halacha when in reality he's doing Zrika, and he has in mind that the Halacha will be Shalei Lishma, he will not invalidate the korban. Ayin Shom and Rashi, who brings a different girsa, that according to everyone, even Reb Shimon, if the Halacha was done a short distance, it will still be invalidated with the machshava shelo lishma, because a halacha zutarti cannot be nullified. It has to be done. It can't be circumvented, and therefore it's considered an integral avoda. It is considered the avoda of halacha, even according to Reb Shimon. But as I mentioned, the question is, did he have the intention for the right avoda? If he had a machshava shelo lishma, but thought he was doing a different avoda than he was actually doing, that machshava, according to Reb Shimon, will not invalidate the korban. Zokta Gemara Vaita Halichai Zor, an individual who was a stranger, not a kohen, transported the blood, did the avoda of halacha. Vehechziroi kohen, and the kohen returned the blood to its original place where the zor had started to transport it. Vechazar vehalichai, and he once again went ahead and did the halacha the proper way. Beregel, transporting it himself. Pligi bo b'nei Rabbi Chiyo v'Rabbi Yanai. The children of Rabbi Chiyo and Rabbi Yanai argue about this halacha. Chadomar kosher v'chadomar posel. One says that the avoda is considered valid now that it was redone correctly by the kohen, and the other one says that it's invalid. Even though we stated in an earlier brisa that halacha b'zor is Sula, Rashi explains that that statement is limited to a scenario where the halacha was never amended. Here, of course, the kohen is redoing the halacha. While zrika, shechita, and kabbalah cannot be amended unless more lifeblood is taken from the animal, and then that blood is used to repeat those avodos, ensuring that they are done correctly, our discussion here is whether the halacha can be redone with the original dam taken for the first halacha. Mar sovar epshel sakuna. One holds that you can amend this halacha, as long as the Kayin redoes it, the halacha will be valid. Umar Savar Loyev Shalasakuna. And the other holds that once the non-Kayin did the halacha, once the Zor did the halacha, it's not possible to amend it. And even if the Kayin returned the blood to the origination point and transported it once more properly, the halacha will remain invalid. Zakta Gemara, what about a case that's exactly opposite? Halichai Kayin Vechzirai, originally the Kayin transported the blood, and then he brought it back to its starting point, the Chazar Vailichai Zor. And then a Zor, a stranger, a non-Kayin, transported it to the Mizbeach. He did the halacha. Amar Rav Simi Barashi, Rav Simi Barashi stated, L'divrei HaMachshir, according to the individual who paskined in the original case, that when the Kayin transports the blood a second time, he can amend the original halacha that was done by the Zor, and the halacha will be valid. In this case, Pasul, where the Zor amended the act of the Kayin, the halacha will be invalid. L'divrei HaPasul, to the individual who held originally that in that first case, the Kayin cannot amend the original halacha, and if it was done by a Zor, it will maintain its status of being invalid, machshir. He will hold that the action of the Zor is meaningless. The original halacha was the halacha of the Kayin. Therefore, that halacha remains kosher. In other words, the machlokes is, do we focus on the first act or on the latter act? According to the individual who is machshir the first case, it's because we focus on the second act. And when the Kayin redoes the halacha properly, he amends the original halacha, and his act of transporting the blood to the Mizbeach is a proper halacha and is valid. According to him, the second act of halacha is the definitive one. Since in this latter case, the second halacha was done by a Zor, the halacha is invalid. Conversely, the one who passes the original case will be machshir this halacha, because he's focusing on the first act. And there, the first act was done by a Zor. By Efshir Lisakuna, you can't amend it. We remain with the first act of halacha, and it's invalid. In this latter case, the first act was done by the Kayin. That was the definitive act. And since that halacha was done in a valid fashion, whatever the second individual does, even though the second halacha was done by a Zor, that halacha is meaningless. And we rely on the first Maisa Halacha, which is the definitive act. Since it was done properly by a Kayin, the Halacha remains valid. Rava Omar, Rava disagrees. Af ledivrei ha-poisel pasul. Even according to the individual who paskin in the first case, that the Korban is invalid because of the fact that the original Halacha was invalid, and we only reckon with the original Halacha, here in the second case, even though the original halacha was valid because it was done by a Kayin, and it's only the latter halacha that's invalid, nevertheless, he will also invalidate the carbon in this case as well. My time, why does he pass the carbon to Hatzorach, and we turn now to the Amid Beis? Bam Tuye, he has to take the dam back to the Mizbeach. Once he returns it to its originating point, it has to be returned back to the Mizbeach. As Rashi explains, it's just as important as any other Maisa Halacha. If the non-Kayin, the Zor, is the one who returns it a second time, that will invalidate the Korban as well. We focus on the original Halacha. On the original Halacha. That is the definitive Halacha. In the first case, when the Zor did that Halacha, it cannot be amended by the Kayin doing the Halacha a second time. And the Korban remains invalid. But even in the second case, says Rava, the carbon will also be puzzle, because since it has been returned to its originating point, even though the original halacha has been properly accomplished, now it has to be returned again. The blood has to be transported once more to the Mizbeach. That is also a Maisa halacha. And if that Maisa halacha of returning the dam to the Mizbeach is done by a Zor, by a non-Kayin, then the carbon will be invalid. Omale Rav Yirmiyah le Rav Ashi. Rav Yirmiyah said to Rav Ashi, Hocher Omar Rav Yirmiyah mi Difti. This is what Rav Yirmiyah of Difti said. Hod Sorech Lam Tuye, this idea of returning the blood back to the Mizbeach, Machlekes Rabbi Eliezer Rabbonon, is totally in a Machlekes, in an argument between Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbonon. This Nan, for we learned in a Mishnah on Daf Yud Gimel Amar Aleph, Rabbi Eliezer states, HaMahalech B'mokim Shetzorech Lahalech. If the Kohen is transporting the Dam, and he's walking in a place that he has to walk, Machashova Peiseles, then if he has an improper Machashova, he does not have the proper intention, it will invalidate the Korban. Mokim She'ein Tzorech Lahalech. But if he has that machshava in a place where he does not necessarily have to go, ein machshava peiseles. That improper intention does not invalidate the korban. The Omar Rava, and Rava explained, hakol moedim, everyone agrees, kiblu bachutz, that if the kohen was mekabel, took the dam in a kli shoreis, a distance from the mizbeach, v'echnisoi b'fnim, and then he brought that dam closer to the mizbeach, zehu hiluch shetzorech lahalech. That is considered the walking that he has to walk. Kiblu b'fnim v'yitziu lachutz. Everyone also agrees that if he received the dam closer to the mizbeach, and he moved it, he took it, he transported it further from the mizbeach, zehu hiluch she'ein tzorech lahalech. This is the classical case of walking that is not necessary, that does not have to be walked. Lo nechleku elo kishechnisu v'chozar v'yitziu. The machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim is only in a case where he took the dam closer to the mizbeach, and then he returned it and moved it further from the mizbeach. Mar sovar, the Tanakhama holds, now we have to take it back to the Mizbeach, and that is considered an Avodah of Halacha. Umar Savar, and Rabbi Eliezer holds, Lav Kehilu Chatzorech L'Avodah Dami. Walking back with the blood towards the Mizbeach is not considered a definitive walk that has to be taken, and an invalid Machshava by the Kohen during that aspect of the Avodah would not invalidate the Korban. The Tanakhama, the Chachamim hold, Hatzorach Lam Tuye. You have to return the dam to the Mizbeach, and therefore it's considered a definitive act. It must be taken. It has to be walked back to the Mizbeach. Therefore, if at that time the Kohen had an improper intention, he would invalidate the Korban. Mashenkin Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that it is not necessary. It's not a mandated halacha, something that has to be done. He never had to bring it away to begin with. Therefore, even when he returns it to the Mizbeach, if the Kohen had a machshava that was improper, the Korban will nevertheless remain valid. Eitz ve'abaya baya is the following kasha. Rabbi Eliezer stated, HaMahalech mekoim shetzorech lahalech. If an individual, the Kohen, who's transporting the dam, is walking in a place that he has to walk, machashava peiselet, then if he has an improper intention, it will invalidate the Korban. Ketzad, how does that come about? Kiblu b'chutz v'chnisi l'fnim. If the Kohen accepted the blood in the Kli Shoreis at a distance from the Mizbeach, and he brought it closer to the Mizbeach, then zehu hiluch shetzorech lahalech. Obviously, this is a case where he's walking in an area that he has to walk. Kiblu b'fnim v'yitziu l'chutz. But if he received the dam near the Mizbeach, and he transported it far away from the Mizbeach, zehu hiluch she'ein tzorech leilech, then this would be a case where he's walking in an area that he does not have to walk. Nevertheless, we can infer from the Braisa, v'hochazar v'hechnisai, hiluch she'tzorech lehalechu, that if indeed the Kohen brings the blood back again, returns it towards the Mizbeach, that would be considered walking in an area where he has to walk. Obviously, this is shver according to Rava, who said that according to Rabbi Eliezer, any time you bring the dam back to the Mizbeach, it is not considered a hiluch shetzorech lahalich, walking that is necessary. since he didn't have to move the dam away from the Mizbeach in the first place. So according to Rav's interpretation of Rebbe Eliezer, when you return that type of dam that was transported initially unnecessarily away from the Mizbeach, the returning of that dam is not considered a hiluch shetzorach lahalich. It's not transporting it, walking it, where you have to walk with it. And therefore, it will not invalidate the korban if during that halacha the kohen had a machshava paiseles, an improper intention. Yet from the brisa we see that it is considered an important, necessary walk. It is considered hiluch shetzorach lahalich. How then can Rav explain Rav Eliezer to mean that that walk is unnecessary and will not invalidate the korban? It's an improper intention. Amalei, Rav responds to Abaya, Itanya Tanya. If it was taught in the Braisa, it was taught in the Braisa, then I have nothing to say. I had suggested originally that according to Rav Eliezer, when you return the blood that was unnecessarily removed away from the Mizbeach, that is not considered the definitive halacha that will invalidate the korban with an improper intention. That's not considered a hiluch shetzorach lahalich, a walk that has to be taken. But with this brisa, I concur that even according to Rebbe Eliezer, the machshava would passel in such a case, and that if an individual returns the dam to the mizbeach, even though it was unnecessarily removed further from the mizbeach, that is considered a hiluch shetzorach lahalech. He is walking in a place where he needs to walk, and if he has a machshava, an improper intention, during the time that he transports that dam back to the mizbeach, it will invalidate the korban. Hadrun aloch kol azvachim, hadrun aloch kol azvachim, hadrun aloch kol azvachim. All of the avodos of a korban, excluding shechita, are only valid when performed by a kohen. Our Mishnah will list those individuals that invalidate these avodos by performing them. If one of these people received the dam, transported the dam, or threw the dam on the mizbeach, the korban becomes invalid. When an integral aspect of the avodah is invalidated, the korban itself becomes invalid. The Mishnah will list these disqualifications. All of them are min hatayra, as the Gemara on Daf Tezvav Amud Beis points out. Kol ha'azvochim shekibel domon. Any sacrifice whose blood was received, this Kabbalat Adam is the second of the four blood avodos. It follows immediately after Shechita, and is part of the avodah of any animal offering. However, the disqualifications listed here for zvochim, for animal sacrifices, also apply to menachos, to flower offerings, in regard to the parallel facets of their avodah. The Mishnah mentions Kabbalah, receiving the dam, to illustrate the disqualifications which follow. It leaves out the avodah of Shechita. The reason for this, as we've mentioned, is that none of the people listed in the Mishnah are excluded from the performance of Shechita. These disqualifications do apply to the other two avodos which follow the Kabbalat Adam. All those who will be listed in the Mishnah are disqualified from performing the avodah of Halacha, which is transporting the dam, and Zrika, throwing the dam on the Mizbeach. The same way they are disqualified from Kabbalah. The Rambam in Hilchos Psulei HaMikdoshin, Perek Aleph, Halacha Chav Zayin states that if any of these individuals perform one of these avodos, then the korban is invalid. Zor, the first individual mentioned, is a non-kohen. According to the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaMikdash, Perek Tes, Halacha Aleph, anyone who is not of Aaron's male descendants is classified as a Zor. As far as whether or not a cholo, a kohen with tainted lineage, is considered a Zor, it depends if he knew he was a Chol at the time that he did the Avodah. The Kesef Mishnah infers from the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaMikdash, Perek Vav, Halacha Yud, that there is a leniency that if the cholol did not know he had tainted lineage, then he is not considered a zor. Once he knows that he has tainted lineage, that he's a cholol, he's not allowed to do the avodah. And if he does so, it will be invalid. The Ramban seems to agree with this, and zor will include a cholol who knew that he was a cholol at the time that he did the avodah. Oinein, or if the blood was received by a kohen who at that time was an oinein, one of his close relatives, father, mother, brother, unmarried sister, son, daughter, or spouse, had just died, the first initial stage of mourning is called aninus. The mourner is then known as an oinein. This generally lasts one day. If a kohen is an oinein, he is forbidden to perform the sacrificial avodah or to partake in the offerings. The prohibition to partake in the offerings is explicitly stated in the Torah. The prohibition to perform the avodah, and therefore the consequent invalidation of the offering, is derived in a limud from the Torah in the Gemara on Daf Tezayin Amud Aleph. The time of Aninus is the day of the death and the night which follows. Everyone agrees that one is an Einein min HaTorah the day of the death of the close relative. There's a machlekes as to whether the following night creates Aninus midiraisa or midirabonon. The Rambam holds that it is only midirabonon. The Aninus additionally is extended midirabonon until the Yom HaKfura and for the remainder of that day. So if a Kohen did the Kabbalah's Dam when he was an Einein, it will invalidate the Korban. Tvul Yoim, an individual who has immersed himself in the mikveh that day. A Kohen who became Tomei Midoraisa, and he purified himself by immersing himself in a mikveh. While he's Tomei, that individual is forbidden to eat sanctified foods. He can't eat Chuma, Maisa Sheni, and Kodesh. He also cannot enter the Beis HaMikdash. And although immersion in a mikveh is sufficient to remove the tumah contamination as it concerns chulin and maisa sheni, nevertheless, there is a residue of the tumah that lingers until nightfall, leaving him tameh in regards to karbonais and to truma, and as far as entering the Beis HaMikdash. A person in this reduced state of tumah is known as a tful yoim. He's already immersed himself on that day, yet the remaining residual tumah invalidates the korban whose blood he received. Mechusa begodim, the kohen who lacks vestments. The Torah specifies that the kohen has to wear certain begodim. As mandated by the Torah, the Kohen Gadol wears Shmeinim Begadim, 8 vestments, and a regular Kohen wears 4. In regard to doing the Avodah, a descendant of Aaron is not classified a Kohen until he is dressed in the appropriate Begadim. Without them, he's considered a non-Kohen, and therefore he will disqualify any Avodah he performs. Mechusa Kippurim, the Kohen who lacks atonement. There are certain Tumah contaminations, Zav, Zava, Metzaira, where purification takes place in 3 stages. He immerses himself in a mikveh, nightfall after the immersion, and the offering of special karbanis on the next day. For these tumais, immersion itself removes the tumah restrictions as far as chulin. Nightfall removes the restrictions as far as truma. Nightfall of the day on which he immersed, the Kohen can eat truma, even though he has not yet offered his karbanis. Nevertheless, a vestige of the tumah still remains until the proper karbanis are offered. The Mechusa Kippurim is the Kohen who has gone through the first 2 stages. He's immersed himself in the mikveh, and night has fallen, but he has not yet brought those karbanis. He's lacking atonement. If he does the avodah, he invalidates the korban. Shaloi rechutz yodayim v'raglayim. The kohen whose hands and feet have not been washed by the kiyor, he has to do so before he does the avodah. If the kohen did not wash his hands and feet, his avoda is disqualified, and the korban becomes invalid. Orel, if an uncircumcised kohen does the avoda, he invalidates the korban. According to Rashi, if the kohen had a valid reason, min hatayra, not to circumcise himself, because Rachman Litzlan, for example, his older brothers died from their circumcision, nevertheless, according to Rashi, he's included in this psul, and if that kohen Orel does the avoda, he will invalidate the korban. Taisvis, Rabbeinu Tam, argues on Rashi, and he is of the opinion that if the individual had a valid reason not to be circumcised min ha-Torah, he is not disqualified from the avoda, and if he does any avoda, the korban remains valid. The only kohen that's disqualified is the kohen that simply neglects his responsibility to be circumcised. That kohen is classified as this orel, who is uncircumcised, and if he is mekabel the dam, the avoda is going to be invalid, and the korban is going to be pasul. Tamei. If a kohen is completely tamei when he performs the avoda, it is invalid. He has invalidated the offering. Now, obviously, we could have derived this from tful yayin, the individual who has immersed himself in the mikveh, or the individual who's lacking atonement. These are lesser degrees of tumah, and they nevertheless invalidate the avoda and the korban. Although the Mishnah's practice occasionally is to list explicitly the various levels of a law, even though one can be inferred from the other, logically the Mishnah should have at least listed tumah before these other disqualifications, since it is the least novel. Explains the Tesis Yom Tif, since tumah will be grouped in another Mishnah, in Masechta Yevamos, the 7th Perek, with Orel, with the individual who is uncircumcised, and that listing does not include a Tfil Yayim, and does not include a Mechusa Kippurim, therefore the Mishnah here too lists the individual who is Tamei together with the Orel. But in a Chanami, it could be derived from the Mechusa Kippurim or the Tfil Yayim, both being lesser degrees of Tumah. If the Avoda of a Kohen Mechusa Kippurim invalidates the Korban, or the Avoda of a Kohen who's a Tful Yom invalidates the Korban, then most certainly the Kohen who is completely Tamei will invalidate the Korban as well. Taisus Dibra Maskul Tful Yom gives a different teretz. Often the Mishnah will list first the simplest idea and then the more novel idea. So being that gradually we're building up to the bigger Chiddush, that's why it first lists Tful Yom, and then Mechusa Kippurim, and only afterwards Tamei, even though Tamei could of course be inferred from Mechusa Kippurim and Tful Yom. The only problem that I have with Taisvis is that Tamei does not immediately follow Mechusa Kippurim. The Mishnah lists Tful Yom, Mechusa Kippurim, then it talks about Mechusa Begodim, Shalei Rochat Yadayim V'Raglayim, and Orel, and only after Orel it lists Tamei. It would seem to me, if the Mishnah is gradually building to this crescendo of Tamei by first listing Tful Yom and then Mechusa Kippurim, it should have listed Tamei immediately after Mechusa Kippurim. And yet we find Tamei being grouped with Orel. Lefi ani astaiti, the fact that Orel immediately precedes Tamei seems to indicate, like the Tesis Yom Tif explains, that being that Tamei will be grouped with Orel in a different Mishnah, in Yevamos, and that listing will not include Tful Yom and Mechusa Kippurim, over here, when they're listed again, even though we do mention Tful Yom and Mechusa Kippurim, once we mention Orel, we mention Tamei as well. Kach nira la niyaz daiti. Zokta Mishnah vayta yoshev. If the Kohen is sitting instead of standing while he's doing the Avoda, the Torah tells us, Ki vayvochar Hashem elikecho, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your God, has chosen him, the Kohen, lamoid l'shoreis, to stand and to serve. Two psukim later, during the Avoda, it is again repeated that it's necessary for him to stand. We derive from this that it is essential for the Kohen to stand while he is doing the Avoda. And if he's sitting while he receives the dam, he invalidates the Avoda and disqualifies the Korban. This is an example of Shino La'akev, that if an Avoida is going to be disqualified, if it's considered an essential facet of the Avoida, and if it's not done, the Avoida will be disqualified, the Torah must state that halacha twice, at least twice. Since the requirement that the Kayin stand was stated in the Torah twice, it is obviously a critical requirement, and if the Kayin is sitting when he does the Avoida, it is considered invalid. Oymed al gabe kelim, if the Kayin doing the Avoida is standing upon utensils, al gabe behema, or he's standing on an animal, al gabe ragli chaveroi, or he's standing on another Kayin's feet. When performing the Avoida, the Kayin's bare feet must be touching the floor of the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara in Daf Chav Dalet Amud Aleph draws an analogy between the consecrated Beis HaMikdash floor and the consecrated clay shoreth. David HaMelech sanctified the area that was to be the floor of the Beis HaMikdash and the Azorah. The Gemara draws a parallel between the floor of the Beis HaMikdash and the clay shoreth. The same way, in the case of the vessels, it is assumed that nothing may interpose between the Kayin's hands and the clay shoreth. The analogy also teaches that similarly nothing may be chaitzeitz between the floor and the Kayin. The Gemara comments on the necessity of mentioning all three examples cited in the Mishnah to illustrate this point. This is necessary because of the well-known rule regarding chatzitza, which is applied elsewhere, that similar materials do not constitute a chatzitza to each other. Min b'minay einay chaitzeitz. We could have argued that though a utensil, a keli, is a disqualifying chatzitza, in the case of a kayin standing on a keli, an animal, being a flesh like a person, should not be considered a chaitzeitz. Furthermore, even if an animal is considered a chatzitza, disqualifying the avoda of a kayin standing on one, we might continue to argue that this is so only because it is not really considered the same as a human, but standing upon the foot of another human being should not be considered a chatzitza. The Mishnah therefore teaches that even this is considered a disqualifying chatzitza. As to why the rule of min b'minay einay chaitzeitz doesn't apply here, Ayin Taisvis Daf Kufyur Amid Aleph Dibra Maskel Min, and in the Chuvas Avnei Nezer Yerideya Chuva Reish Samach Vav. All of these cases, says the Mishnah, Pasal, it invalidates. He invalidates. In all of these instances, the dam that was received by the disqualified person or in the disqualified manner is invalidated, and therefore the Avoida cannot be completed with this dam. However, only this blood has been invalidated. The offering as a whole is not necessarily invalid. If blood fit for the Avoida still gushes from the animal's neck, it can be received in the proper manner by a qualified kohen and can be used to complete the offering. Only if no other blood remains is the korban invalid, since the Avoida cannot be completed. The Taras HaKodesh points out that although women are not explicitly mentioned in the Mishnah, they are included in the category of Zor, of a non-Kayin. As the Rambam in Hilchus Beis HaMikdash, Perek Tes, Halacha Aleph defines it, Ezeu Zor, Kol She'enoi Mizera Arein. Whoever is not of the male seed of Arein is considered a Zor. She'nemar Va'orchu B'nei Arein, Ve'ktiru B'nei Arein, B'nei Arein, V'loi B'nei Sarein. According to the Taras HaKodesh, women would be included in the category of Zor. Therefore, if a woman does the Avoida, she will invalidate the Korban. The Mishnah also did not mention Shtuye Yayin, those who have drunk wine, Prue Reish, those who have excessively long hair, or Bali Mum, those Kehanim who have physical blemishes. It's unnecessary to mention these, says the Tesis Yom Tif, because the Torah explicitly mentions chilul, disqualification, in connection with them. Although the Gemara derives on Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph the disqualification of those who have drunk wine merely from a gzeira shava, nevertheless, on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, there is a source ben HaTorah as well for this din. The Torah says concerning the prohibition against drinking wine, ulahavdil bein hakodesh uvein hachoil, in order to differentiate between the holy and the profane. The term choil, profane, is understood as to mean the disqualified. Therefore, the Chayknosin explains, according to Tosfos, this is considered an explicit mention in the Torah. The disqualification of those with excessively long hair is problematic. The Gemara in Tainus Yudzayinim Adei states clearly that they do not disqualify the Avodah. Additionally, the ban against an individual with long hair performing the Avodah is not stated in the Torah, but rather in the Navi Yecheskel. So in Kadoshim suggests that the words Prue Reish, those with excessively long hair, are an error in Tesis, and they should be deleted. However, the Keranira and the Rashash point out that Tesis and Dav Tezvav and Beis Tibra Maskel Asya understood the status of Avodah performed by such people to be subject to a dispute of Amoraim. Some disqualify the Avodah, and is it in reference to this view that Tesis' question here addresses itself? Although, says the Taras HaKodesh, the disqualification of people with excessively long hair is not stated explicitly, even according to this view, it is nevertheless derived by analogy with those who have drunk wine, and it is therefore not stated in the Mishnah. Kibel b'smoil posal. If the Kohen received the blood with his left hand, he invalidates the Avodah. The Tanna requires the Avodah to be performed with the right hand. If the Kohen received the dam of the shechted animal while holding the Kli Sharis in his left hand, he invalidates the dam. Concludes the Mishnah Rabbi Shimon Machshir, but Rabbi Shimon validates in this case. Rabbi Shimon holds that if the blood was received by a Kohen holding the vessel in his left hand, the Avodah is valid. The Kabbalah is valid. This Avodah may be done with the left hand. Even though we've quoted earlier the Taras HaKodesh, that the Avodah of an Isha is invalid and falls into the category of Zor, as the Rambam clearly states, B'nei Aaron v'le B'nei Sarin, the Nesivus HaKodesh is mistapik as to the exact nature of the psul of a Zor, of an Isha, or a Mechutza Begodim. Is it because they lacked the Mila of Kahuna? Or is it because they inherently possess the psul of a Zor, Ein Shom?